Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Hi, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I'm sitting here talking to you from beautiful Carmel, California, watching the waves of the Pacific Ocean break on the shoreline.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And is there a reason that I'm not there?
Pardon me?
Is there a reason that I'm not there watching the ocean with you?
Well, somebody has to hold down the fort.
Yes. Yes.
That lot falls to you this time. Maybe next time we'll trade places, huh?
Absolutely. Sounds great. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we're particularly excited because Sherry is joining us from Carmel, California. And our show just before us, that was DJ Foe with No Cover, No Minimum, with some great world music and jazz music as well. And that last piece was fully improvised, which is really great music. If you're joining us today, you're either listening to us at 90.1 FM in the Bay Area or over the internet at kzsulive.stanford.edu. And I'd like to announce right at the beginning here that we're excited because we now have archives of the show that are available online at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. And Sherry, you have two upcoming retreats.
Yes, I do.
Great. Would you like to share a little bit about where you're going to be?
And when I leave here, this gorgeous spot in Carmel, we'll be traveling to the mountains of North Carolina, a place called Seven Springs. And we'll be there for about a week, and then journey on to Tuscany, where we will have a week-long yoga and Zen meditation awareness retreat at a what is called an agriturismo.
Wow.
It's an organic farm, and there's a villa on the farm that's been converted into a meditation hall and yoga room, and we eat organic food that's grown there on the farm and cooked by the folks there, and I'm very enthusiastic about experiencing that.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, this will be a first for me. And so actually, if there are folks out there who would like to go to the first annual Tuscany Zen meditation yoga retreat, there's still time to join us, and we actually have a couple of slots open in the retreat, so give us a call.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to call.
Now, you could do that.
I could do that, too. That's true. Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to call it the Zen Yoga Extravaganza.
Yes. Yes, I think that's accurate.
Great.
Yeah.
And then in October, you're going to be at Naropa University in Boulder.
That is correct.
For a workshop on fear and depression.
Yeah, we'll have a Friday evening talk that everybody's welcome to come and join us for. And then if you're interested in the subjects of fear and depression, you could stay for the whole weekend.
Great. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there actually three times now. This is the third time, and each one just gets better. It's a great group of people. It's a beautiful spot. Naropa University is quite wonderful. And so it's very enjoyable to participate there.
That's wonderful. Great. And today we're here on the air, and we'd love to talk with anybody who'd like to join our conversation today.
Yes.
And the phone number is 650-723-9010. And we'd love to talk with you today about any topic, so feel free to give us a ring here.
So, Michael, I know that you always bring us a quote for the day.
Yes.
I'm in charge of homework, and you're in charge of quotes.
Yes.
So what is our quote for today?
Our quote for today is, actually I have several to choose from here. This is from Don Miguel Ruiz. Death is not the biggest fear we have. Our biggest fear is taking the risk to be alive, the risk to be alive and express who we really are. Mm. And when I read that, it's almost as if I can see in myself that I forget that I'm going to die someday.
Yeah.
And so what is it that I'm so afraid of?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it all the time. We hear so many references to it. And yet on a day-to-day basis, almost everybody goes about life as if it's going to go on forever. We have all the time in the world to be as loving as we would like to have the relationships that we would like to have, to be as kind as we know we can be, to really enjoy the life that we have. It's just tomorrow. So my business partner, June, has a bumper sticker on her vehicle that says, "Don't postpone joy." And I love that one. Every time I see it, I think, yes, that's the secret, isn't it? I'm not doing this so that down the road, some other time, some other place, I'll be able to feel joy. If I'm not feeling joy right now, the odds are really good I won't feel it then. So I'd better figure out how to feel it right now and enjoy it right now, and then down the road, when I'm somewhere else doing something else, I can feel it then too.
Right, because joy is a process.
Exactly. And so much of that process of joy is simply being present where we are. And, as you noted, with an awareness that this is not going to last forever.
Yes.
One of these days it's going to be over, and if I'm conscious and present to the ending of it, I can have one of two responses, probably many more, but I bet they all fall under one of these. Either that was great, or darn, I didn't do it the way I wanted.
Right. That's our choice.
Yeah.
Sherry, it occurred to me as you were speaking as well, what comes to mind is this concept of life expectancy, which I've heard you talk about before.
I think it's one of the funniest things. I think it's right up there with being guaranteed the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
I just think that is one of the most amazing sentences in the history of sentences. So we have a life expectancy. You know, somebody was mentioning to me today her son has some physical and mental difficulties, and as a result, he takes a lot of medication. And she said, you know how on the bottom of the thing, way down in the fine print, it says, may experience side effects such as in a small percentage of the population, or however it's phrased. You know, like, everybody's going to take this, and two or three people are going to experience these side effects. She said he has experienced every side effect listed for every drug he has taken. Okay, so statistically, it probably won't happen to you. However, if you're the one that it happens to, what difference does it make what the statistics are?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I have a life expectancy. I don't know what it is now. Maybe it's 76 years for women or 82 years for women or something, and 76 for men. You know, you fellas are, you know, you're catching up, but down. I'm not sure which it is, but, you know, I think that the gap is less than it used to be. And so that feeds into that illusion. Okay, well, you know, I mean, I certainly don't have to pay attention now, although it is more apparent for me than it is for, say, you. Okay, you have a lot farther between you and 76 than I have between me and 82 or whatever. And still, that illusion that I might as well just do whatever now because I have this life expectancy. You know, oh my gosh, I'm probably, probably, we just say it kind of quietly and go right on, I'm probably going to live for another X number of decades. And then when our number comes up ahead of that, we feel cheated. This is wrong. This is a mistake. I'm supposed to live to 82. And it's just a bizarre, bizarre concept that we would do statistics and then base our lives on those statistics when life shows us over and over again that anybody can go at any moment.
Yes. Yes.
And do. Today, a lot of people died all over this planet. And we could, you know, we could join them today. We could join them tomorrow. So, yeah, for me, it's just critical. And I was saying to somebody earlier, in a conversation like this, that it's not morbid. It's not weird or strange to be constantly aware of one's mortality. What it says is, I don't want to miss this because I have no guarantee that I'm going to get another chance. So I want to see this. I want to really pay attention to this flower in front of me. I want to enjoy this ocean that I'm looking at. I want to appreciate this person. I want to communicate my appreciation to this person, either through words, through deeds, in whatever way. I want to be there for this interaction.
Absolutely. And I was thinking as you were talking that, you know, there are no guarantees.
None.
None.
We do not come with a guarantee. You know, nothing comes with a guarantee, if you think about it. So there's your, you know, you buy your stereo and it comes with a guarantee. What does that mean? If it gives out completely, they'll replace it. Well, we actually have sort of the same guarantee. So at some point, we're going to give out completely, and we will be replaced. The odds are very good that there will be another human being on the planet when
yes.
we're gone. However, that's small comfort to us.
Yeah.
That's not a guarantee that really is meaningful for a human being.
Yes, yes. And as you were talking about life expectancy, I can see myself fall into this pattern where, you know, I'm expected to live until I'm 76 or whatever. And so I can do the important things later.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because what if I don't have that time?
Yes. And if it's important, why? You know that this has come up so many times for me recently. But that little refrigerator magnet, it must have appeared somewhere else. But life is uncertain. Eat your dessert first.
Yeah.
And we chuckle at that. But there's a certain, you know, it's pointing us in a good direction. It's saying, make sure you have what you want. Make sure you have the important things. Make sure that's all taken care of. And then, if you have extra time, do the next important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my father used to say, if you eat the best first, you'll always have the best last. And, of course, I was, you know, practically a grown-up before I had any idea what he was talking about. And it's the same, that's the same thing. So have the best now, and whatever comes next will be the best then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why our conditioning is able so completely to bamboozle us into believing that what we need to do is first, and it's for a lot of us, it's always first go through everything that's tedious and monotonous and that we don't like and don't want, do all of the hard things, and that will somehow prepare us for enjoying life later. And now I'm all for, you know, you want an education, well, get your education, and then in your career, you may have to pay your dues. You know, you start out in the mail room and you work your way up. I'm great with that. But who says you can't enjoy it?
Yes.
Why are we postponing the enjoyment of these things? And it seems to be paired in that way. So I have to do all of these things that I don't want to do in preparation for getting to do the things that I want to do. So I'm going to work at a job that I don't really like and save money so that I can retire and enjoy myself.
Right.
And that just seems like such very faulty, flawed thinking.
Oh, yeah, because you got to wait a long time to see if it's really going to play out.
Yes. And so I remember years ago one of those moments working with somebody where this fellow just looked at me like I was completely out of my mind. You know, it was one of those where I could see written on his face. Inside, he was saying, why am I sitting here? Why am I having this conversation with a crazy person?
Yes.
And what I had suggested to him, he was in the process of saving money for a down payment on a house.
Uh-huh.
And it was clear from the conversation that his life was going to begin when he got that house.
Uh-huh.
Now, I, of course, knew that it wouldn't, because his life was going to begin that house was the way he wanted it to be.
Right.
Okay, when it had turned into his dream house, then his life was going to begin. But, of course, it wouldn't begin then, because having that dream house wouldn't make him feel the way he thought having that dream house was going to make him feel. And we can sense our ability to go through an entire lifetime like that, with as soon as whatever, then I'm going to feel the way I want to feel, and when I've accomplished that. And I said to him, well, that's great. And you could make your enjoyment of the house start right now. So every time you put money in the bank for your house, you could enjoy having your house. Every time you decide, no, I'm not going to buy that now, or I'm not going to go on that trip or whatever, I'm going to put that money aside for the house, you could enjoy having your house. And it was just one of those, does not compute. Because what I'm doing is sacrificing now, not enjoying myself, suffering, doing without, as I prepare myself for this thing that I want.
Yes.
With the one that I'm suggesting, of course, you always have the life experience that you want, whether you get the house or not. With
yes.
the other one, maybe you get the house, and maybe you do have the life experience you want. Maybe you get the house and you don't.
Yes.
Yeah. So one, sure thing. Two, maybe thing. I'm a sure thing person.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're talking about security. We're talking about having what we want now instead of later. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call at 650-723-9010 and share your experiences with us about what it means to enjoy your life now versus postponing that joy till later. Sherry, I was thinking as you were talking, it seems that what you're pointing at is that we have the choice to love life now and love life later,
mm-hmm.
rather than just postponing that.
Yeah, because it's a process, and I know that I just kind of beat people over the head with this, and I do that because it's so very important. There is nothing in life that we want other than a feeling. So I'm going to have that new convertible because of the way I'm going to feel when I have it, because I'm going to love it, and I'm going to be happy and filled with joy and feel special, and my life is really going to work, and I'm going to put the top down and drive along the ocean and just feel like $1 million. Okay? If I had that car and it didn't give me that feeling, I wouldn't want the car. I look around at life, and I pick out the things that are going to give me that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that seem so to you?
It seems absolutely so to me.
Yeah, why do I want that relationship? Why do I want that house? Why do I want that job? Why do I want to go on vacation to that place? Because it's going to make me feel a certain way.
Yes.
And if I know, sitting here, that going there is going to make me feel a particular way, I know that because I'm having that feeling now. I'm
yes.
imagining that life experience, and I'm feeling that feeling right now. So I actually don't need to go anywhere or do anything or have anything. I already have what I'm trying to get.
Yes.
So now I have the feeling. Now I can look at what I might like to have or do.
Wow.
It's like an insurance policy. You know, so I'm going to go on this trip to this special place. I'm going to save up all this money, and I'm doing it because I know how I'm going to feel lying there on that beach. And if I have the feeling right now, I have the feeling while I'm saving the money, I have the feeling while I'm packing, I have the feeling while I'm on the plane flying there, I get there, it is what I thought it was going to be, it isn't what I thought it was going to be, but I still have the feeling.
Uh-huh. And we can be present to all of that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I don't ever have to be disappointed.
Right.
Can be disappointed if I want to be disappointed. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed. You know, I'm not saying that we need to live in this perpetual particular feeling. It's just what I want people to prove to themselves is that having a particular experience does not guarantee a particular feeling. But having a particular feeling does guarantee having a particular feeling.
Wow. That's so good.
Yeah, it's much easier. It's much more straightforward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And cheaper, too, but that's the point. We
yes.
can still go ahead and have that convertible or have that house or relationship or vacation or whatever it is. You know, that's one of the things that I find most annoying about what conditioning does with people's lives is that it wants us to believe that if we are spiritual people, if we live in the present and we pay attention and we're aware, we don't ever get to have anything fun.
Right.
So we just have that feeling and stay home and do the laundry.
Yes.
But you can have that feeling and still choose to go on that vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just great.
It's fun to do.
Yes. Sherry, we have a caller on the line here. I'd like to welcome Adam from Redwood City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering, if you picture something like a certain way, your feelings, you're going to feel a certain way, but you don't actually experience that, is that a problem?
Well, that's just it. That our conditioning will have us project the feeling that we're having now out into the future. And then conditioning will get into the moment where whatever this is going on. And it will compare, supposedly, the experience that we're having now with the one that we were having and say, this isn't as good. However, if we're really present to the moment we're in, and we're not needing to compare it to an imaginary moment somewhere else, then it's not a problem.
Hmm. I see what you're saying. But is it better to picture things in like a brighter light where you think you will enjoy it, even though it might not be as positive as you think it will?
Well, my point about it is not to make up a feeling. That's not it. It's getting in touch with the fact that we're already having the feeling.
Mm.
Okay? So I'm going to apply for that job. And the reason that I'm going to apply for that job is because I have a sense of how I will feel when I have that job.
Mm.
So I'm not making it up. I'm not imagining it. I'm going for that job based on the way I'm already feeling.
Adam, let me interrupt you just one second. Is your radio on by chance?
No. I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, you're on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Getting terrible feedback, aren't
you? Yeah, we're getting a little bit of feedback here.
Sorry about that.
Is it, by chance, do you have a landline nearby you could give us a call back on?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be great. Why don't you do that?
Great. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah. Sherry, that was interesting what he was talking about there, sort of along the lines that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, because his point is just excellent, and I'm glad that he gives us the opportunity to attempt to clear that up. I'm not suggesting that we make up feelings, you know, that I picture myself on that vacation and then I go into a fantasy and I imagine how it's going to be and I'm having all of these emotions that I'm creating from that fantasy. It starts before that.
Yes.
The fantasy is the result of a feeling I'm already having.
Yes.
Yeah, so if I know that being in relationship with that person is going to be the answer to my dreams, I'm already having the answer to my dream's experience.
Yes.
And I'm projecting it out onto a relationship with that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sherry, we have Adam back here.
Oh, good.
Adam, are you there?
Like, I'm close to Adam.
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay.
Is that better?
Sounds a little bit better, yes.
Okay. So you're saying your feelings at the exact moment affect your decision. Like if you're going to apply for a job or if you're going to go for something. What if your feelings tell you that you shouldn't apply for that job even though you need the job?
Well, that's an interesting to watch, isn't it? Then you get to see how that plays out. Was it an intuition that you were having? Was it a deep sense of knowing within yourself that this is not the thing that's going to work for you? Or
it wasn't actually a job. It was school, but I had like a bad experience. But I wasn't sure if I should, because I knew I needed to continue with school, or I need to continue with school. But I have this intuition, like you said, that in the past it has been a bad experience, so that kind of affects my current feelings.
That's right.
Being at that place.
Personally, I would never call applying past experience to the future intuition.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of like, you know, the expression, once burned, twice shy.
Mm-hmm.
So we get hurt by something or upset or whatever, and then our conditioning wants to say, that was unpleasant once, it'll be unpleasant again.
Yeah.
And to me, that's different from, okay, I should go to school, I need to go to school, I need to finish my school, and yet something inside, you know, this kind of deep, subtle sensing,
mm-hmm,
is there that says, you know, it just doesn't feel like the right time, or this doesn't feel like the right place, or there's just, okay? So then we may go ahead with it and just see, was that accurate? Is it really true that this was not the thing for me right now? Or was I just applying this old fear to current circumstance?
Yeah.
Then we get to find out, because that's what we practice awareness to get a sense of. Is this my heart? Is this my authentic nature that I'm following? Am I in sync with life and moving along? Or is karmic conditioning guiding me?
Yeah, I feel like that makes it really clear for me. Like, it's not really who I am. My nature would be to just go with it and continue with my school and everything.
Yeah.
But somehow the conditioning, it can have an effect, but just kind of going through with it anyways will help me kind of, is that what you're saying, help me realize more that those feelings, those past experiences aren't true.
Yeah, yeah. So you just keep staying with it, staying present, you're checking in, how is this, it's fine. And the voices may continue to say, you know, this isn't working, this, you know, you're not going to like this, this isn't going to turn out well.
Yeah.
Because those voices in our head just, you know, they just natter on about whatever is going to kind of throw us off track.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're just staying with it and seeing what happens every day. And, yep, I'm still doing this. Yep, I'm still doing this. And one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good.
All right.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Adam.
That's courageous.
It is courageous.
It's really courageous, because when those voices are after us, this is the wrong thing, this isn't going to work, you shouldn't be doing this, it's really easy to get thrown off by them, to believe them, to get talked into quitting something. And that, you know, in the 12-step programs, that idea of one day at a time, and really with life, it's one moment at a time, and I'm sure they've, you know, altered that to cover that understanding. You know, it's a moment by moment checking in. Are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. All right, another step. Are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. Okay, another step. We have to be really present with ourselves to stay in touch with what our internal sensing, our essential nature is guiding us toward, and stay out of the influence of those conditioned voices.
Right, and it sounds like what Adam was talking about is getting a sense of clarity about which voice is coming from where.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, I just was talking to some wonderful folks that I would tell people listening here about it. Their website is successmadefun.com.
Uh-huh.
And they have a whole network where they send an email out to people once a week to kind of, you know, give us a little reminder and an encouragement. And the fellow was paraphrasing something from one of my books. This was his version. The still, small voice that tells you you suck is not the one you're listening for. it's a little cruder, of course, than I would put it.
Yes.
But it certainly is pointing us in the right direction. So any voice that's talking to us in terms of fear, loss, deprivation, that there's something wrong, urgency, anxiety, in any voices talking to us about those or from that perspective, you know, don't do that, oh, something's going to happen, this isn't right, you know, that's not the voice that we're looking to for guidance. The sensing that we're going for when we're in sync with life and moving from our heart or from our essential nature is subtle. We really have to, it really is a sensing. Very often it doesn't have words. There's just a feeling of, okay, all right, well, yes. And sometimes it can feel, you know, we have those magical periods where we know we're in sync. It's just everything is working. It's all perfect. It's all falling into place in front of it. It's like the road before us is being assembled. Just as we take the step, you know, it comes into being.
Yes.
And we love those times. Other times it's, you know, we kind of put a foot out and feel for the next firm place to put our foot. And so it's a sensing that, yes, okay, yeah, that's, yeah, okay, yeah. There's nothing fearful or what people call negative or hateful or judging or blaming or punishing. Those voices are from conditioning. That information comes from conditioning, never from our heart or from true nature.
Yes. And maybe I can get the quote a little more exactly from your book, one of your books. If the voice is not speaking to you with compassion, whether that's an internal voice or somebody talking to you externally, don't listen to it.
Yeah, it has nothing to tell you.
Yes.
Don't believe it. It has no information that's of value to you. And people will say, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I do have that bad habit, or it's true that I, you know, kind of defending the voice, beating them up. My
yes.
encouragement always is, well, good, you know that. So obviously you have clarity about that. You're working on it. You don't need somebody hitting you over the head. It's
absolutely
not helpful. It's not kind.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Stay tuned to KZSU at 6 p.m. We have David Bug with In Your Ear. And then at 9 p.m., we have the Bot of Euphony. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with Open Air with Sherry Huber. And let me just add, if you want to join our conversation, please call us at 650-723-9010. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We've been talking about the voices of conditioning, living in the past, living in the future. Sherry, we started off with a quote about taking the risk to be alive
mm-hmm.
and to be really present.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two more quotes here.
May I?
Oh, please.
No, it's actually not risky to be alive. It's risky not to be alive.
Yeah, yes.
Not to be present. It's funny that we even think about it in those terms.
It's crazy.
It's a risk to be fully alive, when the only time we're really at risk is when we're unconscious, when we're not present.
Right.
Yeah.
And soon after that, we'll be dead.
Yes, exactly. Very soon. Because, you know, that's that the thing that we talk about, that as we get older, very often people will report that time seems to be compressing. You know, it's January, and then the next thing you know, it's summer, and then it's the fall, and then it's Christmas, and then we're back at New Year's resolutions again. And it's just, you know, it's spinning faster and faster and faster. Whereas when we're children, time is really spacious. It's just huge. A summer vacation is like lifetimes long. And, you know, kids, I don't know if you can remember this, but I used to forget what school was from the end of one year to the beginning of the next. You know, it's just, it had no reality after a while. And when we are present, when we're actually living here in the moment, because the moment is spacious, it's like being a child again. Time is really, really big and long because you're present for every moment, not just a moment an hour or a couple of moments a day. So, you know, if you want a long life, the best thing you can do is get into the moment, get present.
Absolutely.
Get into spaciousness.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the risk is not to do that because, poof, your life is over and you're asking yourself what happened and why didn't I do all those things I was going to do?
Yes.
Yeah, I ran out of time. Darn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, in the moment here, we have a caller on the line.
Right.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Oh, thank you. I'm listening on my computer. Should I turn my computer off?
That would be really wonderful.
Okay.
We're all kind of new at this.
This is new for me.
Great.
I'm calling because at the age of 58, I finally have something that I've wanted all my life. And I'm finding myself now very terrified at having it.
Don't do that. Can we cut to the chase and I'll just give you the advice? Don't do that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Don't you think? I mean, it just ruins it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, okay, one of the thoughts I have is that I've built it up too much over the years, and now that it's here, it can't possibly be as good as...
It is.
What?
It is as good, or you wouldn't be terrified.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Okay, so we can toss that one out.
Okay.
Thing that conditioning is trying to do to ruin your good time.
Oh. Okay.
And I would suggest that is the sum total of what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah. That it, conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, that love of suffering that wants to suck the life force out of us, is just trying to destroy your good time.
Any hints for when I'm dealing with these voices or?
Well, yeah. You're doing a good thing, right? Because you're obviously dialed into, literally and figuratively, a world that doesn't support those voices.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's excellent. And you want to spend more time in this world than that world. Okay? Until those voices are bizarre. Rather than believable, they are bizarre. You know? So
yeah.
if you had somebody in your life doing the Chicken Little thing,
yeah,
running around saying, the sky is falling, is that right? That person would appear somewhere along a continuum from ludicrous to pathetic.
Right. I do have one of those people. Okay.
What did you say?
I do have one of those people.
Yeah. And it's sad, isn't it? It's kind of funny and it's kind of sad and you wish they'd get over it.
Yeah.
Because you can see that what they're doing is simply destroying their life. They're not actually preventing anything from happening. They are making it happen moment by moment by moment. Okay? So with poor little Chicken Little, you know, what if one day the sky did fall? Well, then it would fall, and that would be it. But all of the days, all of the moments when it didn't fall would be hers to enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's what we have. So this that you have in your life, finally, that you've wanted all of your life, and now you have, someday you won't have. Okay? It's true.
Right.
Because here's the thing we can know. Either you will die before those you love, or they will die before you.
Right.
That's it. Those are the two choices we have.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to lose it all before it's over.
Right.
So what is our best plan of attack? We want to enjoy it so fully right now that we're actually satisfied.
Oh.
Now, being satisfied, in fact, contrary to popular beliefs, does not mean you'll lose it. It means you'll really have it.
Hmm. Okay.
Can you picture that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So many of the things that we've been taught to believe are just opposite to what actually happens. So in a grieving process, maybe this has happened to you or someone close to you, you lose somebody you love. Mm-hmm. And people want to stay in the grieving process, the sad, depressed, because it feels like as soon as they move through that, they'll lose the person.
Right.
But what they lose is the grieving, and they get the person. So now that I am not in this, I've lost this person mode, now I have the person again. I can remember the fun and the good times and the laughs and all of the things that we shared. And once again, that person is in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
In a good way.
This is a parallel. This is a similar kind of process. When you really have something, when you're really satisfied with it, then you can enjoy it. It's yours. And it doesn't alter, as far as I can tell, it doesn't do anything with the timeline.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
I'm not sure. I'm feeling overwhelmed by all the things you're saying.
Well, that's why we record them. So we can all go back and listen again. Because it is a lot.
It is a lot.
And what I'm pointing to in this one is the belief that, and it goes back to that first quote that Michael read us. People have this superstitious belief that if they're really satisfied, they'll die. Or if they are really satisfied, they'll lose what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. The opposite is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you can let yourself fully receive, really have this that you've always wanted all of your life, then you have more days to have it. If you kind of have it but don't really have it, then that's the experience you're going to have for as long as you have it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like saving food. You know, you sit down, the most delicious meal you've ever encountered in your life, and you don't want to eat it because then it'll be gone. And so you decide to save it. And what happens to it?
It rots.
It exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Lots to look at, huh?
Yeah, lots.
So my encouragement is that you just open your heart as wide as it can go and say yes as loud as you can say it and just grin all over. And when the times come when, you know, because life is high and then low and then and then, you know, it goes up and down. And when you're in one of those down periods, just say yes as loud as you can say it and grin all over and experience that too. Have it all.
Okay.
Good. Let us know.
Okay, Sherry, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and I'll take the opportunity from that call to plug the archives for Open Air with Sherry Huber, which you can find at sherryhuber.com. Sherry, that was an exciting call.
Yeah, it's it's such a glorious thing to say at any age, I have what I've always wanted.
Wow.
I mean, it gives me chills all over. You know, to get that, to have that, it's just it's phenomenal.
Yes.
Yeah, and to have you know, I'm not fond of conditioning, and I give it a really hard time. And to have that receiving arrive in this context of, and I'm really afraid now. I'm really afraid because maybe it's not going to be as wonderful as I hoped. Maybe I'll lose it. Maybe I'll be more disappointed because now I've had it and when it's gone, you know, instead of just being able to say, this is the best. Yay.
Yes.
Thank you. Here we are. This is good. And, you know, that kind of a small child place of, I'm not in control. I know that. There's nothing I can do about it, but boy, I can enjoy the stew out of this while it's going on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds almost crazy when we hear it out loud that I have what I always wanted, and now I'm just, I can't receive that.
Yeah, and now I'm afraid.
I'm afraid.
Now I'm miserable because this is too much.
Yes.
And yet we all know that place, that we all know that conditioning.
Yes.
Now, of course, a lot of people haven't yet had what they always wanted all their life. So you know, those people are living in the delusion that, yeah, but I won't feel that way. Boy, if I ever get what I want, you know, I'm just going to, you know, be like a hog in slop and love it, never look back. But it's not true. When that moment, there arises the conditioning that goes with it. You know, as we receive that tremendous gift, here comes the conditioning to try to take it away from us. So the idea of how I will be when my ship comes in, you know, well, first our ship has to come in, and then we get to look at how we'll be. And, of course, you know, I'm always fond of pointing out that we can practice in small ways. So if I practice really receiving, feeling the joy and the gratitude of this little thing that I want, this, you know, okay, it's not the thing that I want most in life, but, hey, it's pretty good, and I do want this. So can I receive it? Can I take that in? Can I let myself have that? Even that small act is going to set off the conditioning. So I can be in relationship with that conditioning in the little things, getting ready so that when that moment comes and I, here it is, now I have the thing that I've wanted all of my life, then I can recognize those voices and not let them take it away from me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as you were talking, the distinction you always make between process and content.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in a process of always wanting, striving, not satisfied, then to get what I want, I need to have a different process for receiving that.
Yes. Yeah, I have to have a process of getting what I want.
Yes.
And we can practice that, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, and I love to practice that. I love to practice that with, see, I don't have a lot of this spiritual, the spiritual life is one of deprivation. So recently, I thought, you know, I would love to have a fountain pen. Now, periodically, I have thought, I would love to have a fountain pen.
Uh-huh.
I love fountain pens. But, you know, they're so expensive and they're impractical and blah, 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 blah. Uh-huh. And finally, I said, I don't care. I want a fountain pen. And so I went, and I looked at all the fountain pens, and I tried them all on, and I found the one I wanted. I'll tell you, that pen has brought me more joy than a material object should actually be able to bring to a person.
Yes.
I can practice taking it in.
Yes.
Now, there's also a piece of that that says, and one day it will be gone.
Yes.
It'll break, I'll lose it, I'll die. One day our relationship will be over. And
yes,
I accept that. There is a place in the cosmos where that already exists. And right now we are together, and I project, I bring it as much joy as it brings me, and we are very happy together. And the voices that want to say, well, you know, this is a material possession, isn't this attachment? I mean, how superficial. You're a Zen teacher, for crying out loud. And they just have to talk to themselves, because I'm not interested. Me and my pen, we're busy being happy together.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear from the way you describe that, the joy in receiving that.
Ah, it's the best. And it, you know, it's thank goodness it wasn't a Ferrari or a Maserati. It was a pen. It was my ability to purchase for myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another point that I would like to make. Enjoy the things that you can have. You know, one way to make ourselves miserable in a hurry is to put that my enjoyment is going to be there when I have this thing that I can't have. No, make my enjoyment around things that I can have. I can have that pen. I can afford that pen. I love that pen. Okay? And there are lots and lots of other things like that that I can have. You know, I love my cup. I love my, you know, if we go around in our lives, probably most of us could make a list like that. You know, of things that we have that share our lives with us that we love. And we take that in and enjoy it and receive it, instead of letting conditioning have us dwell on the things that we don't have that are still out there.
Absolutely.
Because loving these and having these and receiving these things that we have, I am convinced, opens a doorway for all kinds of other things to come through.
Wow. And based on the description of that pen, I think I'm going to have to try it out the next time I see you.
I'll borrow it.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't have an exclusive relationship.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So you are welcome to write with it the next time we're together.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wow. Well, Sherry, we're closing in on the end of our hour here.
It goes so quickly.
It goes so quickly. Mm. And we've had a couple of audio challenges today, and we'll be looking at those and hoping for a crystal clear call next week when you're back.
It's always good to have a project, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Always good to have something that we're working on and using as an opportunity to expand. And somebody said to me, I can't remember if I told you about this, but somebody was talking to me about manufacturing being nothing but a series of problems to solve.
Yes.
And so with so many things in life, if we look at it as just, this is the thing that's mirroring me now. This is what I'm working on. Oh, this is interesting. Then life remains fun, because, as you've noticed, there's always something to fill that slot.
Yes.
Yeah, so we might as well approach it as a fun and interesting challenge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very good.
Sherry, I'd like to make a couple of quick announcements here. And then if you could be thinking about some homework for our listeners for next week.
Ah.
So I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today as listener or caller. I'd like to thank Michael and Jay for keeping us on the air here. And Sherry has two upcoming retreats, one in Tuscany, Italy. It'll be a Zen and yoga retreat at the end of September. And another retreat on depression and fear at Naropa University in beautiful Boulder, Colorado. That's a weekend retreat, October 17th to 19th. You can find out more about those at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled sherryhuber.com. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, our archives of today's show and all our previously recorded shows are available online at that same website, sherryhuber.com. Next week, Sherry, you'll be joining us from North Carolina and then from Italy.
Yes, very exciting. excited about that.
Great.
So in terms of homework, Michael, I think it would be fun for us all to do kind of the last thing that I was suggesting about the pen.
Yes.
Think about something that that we want, that for whatever combination of reasons we don't allow ourselves, and it doesn't have to be huge and extravagant. I'm not encouraging people to be crazy or go into debt or that sort of thing, but just a little something, and to let ourselves have that and really have it, really receive it and feel the pleasure of it and the joy of it, and let that enrich our lives. And then I hope people will report next week, because it'd be great to hear not only the process, but what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The pen or whatever else.
Or whatever else.
Ferrari, Maserati.
Oh, let's keep it let's keep it in the realm of
manageable.
Not going to break anybody's bank.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Sherry, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.